All righty. Well, church, we wanna thank these ladies for their investment in these little ones. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. We appreciate y'all. Y'all the heroes around here, taking the time. We trying to say thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Yeah. Yeah. Thank you, Jesus. We bless you. We bless you. Ask you to bless this time in here and in the back, and use it for your glory. For we know that we have no other than you that can save and rescue the parish. And so we praise you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. All righty. All righty. Everybody else, take your word today. Take your Bible. Palmer, you going? Huh? Smells good. There's a lot of food back there. A lot of food. All right. Take your Bibles this morning and turn to the book of Acts. The book of Acts. I think I'm on there, Brother Keith. I got that turned on. The book of Acts. Y'all turn to chapter 7. Chapter 7 and chapter number 8. We're looking at that this morning. It's good to see everybody with us on this rainy day. The Lord is blessing us spiritually and physically. Amen. The showers of blessings. We got a lot of rain yesterday, a lot of rain this morning and last night for sure. And we can't help but thank Him for His goodness. Maddie's at home. Will we be praying for Maddie? Yeah, praying for Maddie. We sure will. Appreciate y'all praying over me. And this past week, I shared with y'all that last week I had some medicine that they wanted to put me on. And that medicine is a targeted medicine to deal with the type of leukemia that I have. And it is very similar to chemo. It works like chemo, but it's not chemo. And it just works a little longer than chemo. It takes a little longer for that to happen. But there were some potential side effects with it, and one of those, I mentioned that my blood pressure had been elevated a bit. But over the several days of last week, from Sunday to Thursday, it just steady just went down and was normal. Thursday, Friday, Saturday, it was 120, 121 over 80. So it was looking good, and I started the medicine, and the medicine didn't affect it any. And at the same time, I hadn't had any sort of side effects with it outside that very similar to when I was going through chemo. About the third or fourth day into it, I could always feel a touch fatigued in my legs and things like that. And I can sense that with this as well. But outside of that, all is good. I have had a little cough, but I had that cough going into it. And now it's getting a little more dry, so that's going to make my voice a touch weaker in that. Brother Shannon and Miss Pat stopped by yesterday taking care of the sign out front, and they come over for a minute, and Stephanie put them some hot tea on, and we drank a little bit of hot tea and for about an hour, and by the time they left, my old voice was already what? Yeah. It was kind of getting weaker and weaker just in the talking then. But we're going to get on in the Word and celebrate. Amen. Celebrate this great book we're walking through right now. We're in the book of Acts. And that's where we're walking from day to day. We're up to chapter number 8. And there's just been some good stuff. When you look at the life of Stephen in chapter number 7, we get a glimpse of him in these chapters and what God was doing in chapter 6 and then moving into chapter number 7. And what we find in chapter 7 is just a tremendous overview of God's hand and providential care of bringing about the Messiah as the Redeemer, and how Stephen continued to highlight how people rejected the things of God in days gone by and they missed it with Jesus. Very similar. And he brought out Moses and he brought out Joseph and he brought out the law, and he brought out all these things of where the people were. And boy, you get into verse number 51, after he highlighted quite a few things. He says this. This is in chapter 7 in verse 51. He says, "You stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, you always resist or oppose the Holy Spirit. As your fathers did, so do you. Now he's getting personal. Amen. Now what he had done up to this point was teaching these fundamental historical reference in the Word of God that actually sheds light on some things that the Old Testament didn't shed light on about those circumstances. But man, Hunter, he gets in there and he says this when he gets personal with them. They're going to take it personal. And Jesus told them to expect this, to expect this. He goes on to say in verse 52, which of the prophets did not your fathers persecute? They killed those who foretold the coming of the just one, that just one being who?
Jesus,
that's who we're talking about, of whom you now have become the betrayers and murderers. You have received the law by the directions of angels and have not kept it. So boy, this personal witness against them, verse 54 says, and when they heard these things, they were cut to the heart. Not in a good way, but in a negative way. They were cut to the heart and they gnashed at him with their teeth. But he, being full of the Holy Spirit, gazed into heaven and saw the glory of Jesus. It's the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. And he said, look, I see the heavens open and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God. Then they cried out with a loud voice. They stopped their ears. They closed their ears. You ever been around a kid that didn't want to hear what you were saying and they closed their ears up? That's what they were doing. They didn't want to. It was so terrible of what he had been saying to them, though he just preached the good news of Jesus. It was so radical to their hearing. They didn't want to hear it. They stopped their ears and they ran at him violently with one accord, and they cast him out of the city and they stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their clothes at the feet of a young man named Saul. The reason they took their clothes off, how many of y'all ever had a coat on and you had to do something and that old clothes you had on kind of bound you up? And you had to take your garments off so that you could take. And what they did was take those rocks, those stones they had. And we're not talking about little pebbles. They were taking gadget, hard stones like this. Stones like this. They shed their coat so that they could really throw it. I would take my coat off, but I got a mic in there. I thought about it, Brother Shannon. But they'd take that stone, and they took it and they would throw it as hard as they could possibly throw. That's why they would shed their clothes and loosen them up so that they could run at him and drag him out of the city and then take those stones and throw it at him. And they would just barrel those stones upon him to put him to death. And there was a guy there by the name of Saul who actually, the way the picture of they put their clothes at his feet, was most likely one of the ringleaders who he was a young man, but the one who pulled them all together to incite them to do, because this young man, Saul, was a ravaging man who did all that he could to destroy this name of Jesus. And he was set out to punish anybody that would stand with him. And the scripture says in verse 59, and they stoned Stephen, and he was calling on God and saying, the Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. Then Stephen knelt down and he cried with a loud voice. And he said, Lord, do not charge them with this sin. And when he said this, he fell asleep. He fell asleep. I noticed that. The scripture doesn't say he died. He what? He fell asleep. He fell asleep and he woke up in the arms of who? First person he sees is who?
Jesus.
He leaves this world and he's with Jesus. I was just thinking that one song we were singing about being in the arms of the shepherd, that he'll take care of us. And I want to tell you, he took care of Stephen all the way through with every stone that hit his body and every stone that went against his head. It was not unnoticed. Matter of fact, it was all used for the glory of God. And what God did from there, and this is where we want to pick up on today, verse number 1 of chapter 8. Now Saul was consenting to his death. At that time, a great persecution arose against the church, which was at Jerusalem, And they were all scattered. They were all broadcasted. The image there, Jay, is when you've sown seed before in your deer fields or in your field, how you take a hand of seed, Jody, and just broadcast it. That's the picture. God took His people as a result of this persecution and He broadcast them all over. Persecution is what powered this mass mission movement, and God scattered His people all over the region to go preach in every place. Remember, He told them to tarry in Jerusalem that we read in the first part of Acts. What did He say? Stay in Jerusalem until you're endued with power that you may be My witnesses where? In Jerusalem, in Samaria, in Judea, and in the rest of the world. At this point, only Jerusalem was the place where the word was being proclaimed. But because of this persecution, God took His people and planted them. We're going to see them going to Samaria. We're going to see them going to the places in Judea. There's a good chance, had not this persecution happened the way it happened, they would have continued to huddle themselves in Jerusalem and never left out of the city, because everybody wanted to be taught. Everybody wanted to hear what the apostles was teaching. Everybody loved fellowshipping with their brothers and their sisters. I mean, people that came from Rome and Sicily and other places, in Alexandria, you name it, they came from everywhere, and none of them were leaving and going back home. Why? They have heard of a king that came to rescue them. They wanted to know about that king, so therefore they took up Lot and stayed in Jerusalem. Remember in chapter 4, people were giving up their stuff. They were giving up houses they had, lands that they had, resources that they had, so people could stay there and learn about this Jesus. And boy, they were learning all that they could, and they would have continued to do that if this persecution hadn't powered this mission movement. And now God broadcast them. He scattered them like seed all over to go proclaim the word. See, we got to be careful ourselves when it comes to conveniences and ease. How many of you find yourself at times life in our community and our church life can just become very easy. One thing you can say about coming here, and praise God for it, it's a God thing, is that our place, our fellowship, our gathering, the gathering of the faith family here, it's not full of drama. Amen.
Amen.
Now, I've been in places, I go to places that they wonder what it's going to be this week. They wonder what it's going to be next week. They know always something. There's always going to be some kind of drama going on within, but in this situation, in our situation, man, we get to come, we gather with anticipation, with excitement. Can't wait to see the brethren. Can't wait to be around them, because you know that it's not going to be filled up with all that. Amen. Now, the danger in that can be you become at ease. Yeah. Convenience can birth an easement. And they were in that sin. Not that they wasn't being dealt with, because they were. They've been put in jail already, and they've been seeking the Lord. That's one thing God told them. Go to John chapter 16. John chapter 16, the Gospel of John. Let me show you this. This is just a good point to highlight this at this interval. John's Gospel, chapter number 16. Verse number 26 of chapter 15, and we'll read into 16. We see all these things taking place, these promises that were made to them. Verse number 26 of chapter 15 says, "But when the Helper comes," who's the Helper? That's the Spirit, the Holy Spirit. So John 15:26 says, "When the Helper comes, whom I shall send to you from the Father," he is the Spirit of truth, who proceeds from the Father, and He will testify of me every time. Guaranteed. If the Spirit's involved, He is going to testify of Jesus, and He's always going to speak truth. Amen.
Amen.
Verse 27. And you also, as a result, will bear witness because you have been with me from the beginning. Verse 1 of chapter 16. I tell you these things I've spoken to you, that you should not be made to stumble. Verse 2, they will put you out of their synagogues. Yes, the time is coming that whoever kills you will think that he offers God service. So what Saul was doing and these men that killed Stephen thought they were doing God a favor. Thought they were serving God. Verse 3, and these things they would do to you because they have not known the Father nor me. But the things I have told you, that when that time comes, you may remember that I told you of them, and the things I did not say to you at the beginning because I was with you. I protected you during those time things. They didn't persecute you like they persecuted me. But the time's coming because you're going to be my representative. You're going to be me on the earth, my witnesses. What they did to me, they're going to do to you.
Yeah.
We see it. This is what's happening right now with Stephen. One, Stephen knows Jesus. He knows the Father. He's filled with the Spirit. He's walking in the power of God. Those that came against him didn't know the Father. They didn't know Jesus, but they thought they were doing God a favor in silencing him. But then we see in chapter, go back to Acts chapter 8, notice what happens in verse number 18. Excuse me, I'm sorry. 8 in verse number 1, I'll start there again. Now Saul was consenting to his death. At that time, a great persecution arose against the church, which was at Jerusalem, and they were scattered throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. They were not scattered. This is the brethren, the disciples are sent out. Verse 2, and devout men carried Stephen to his burial and made great lamentations over him. Now these devout men, it's speaking of men who were of great accountability and responsibility. The word devout means that. They took responsibility of seeing after people in a civil way. These people does not mean that they actually were followers of Jesus. Because just like in our day, just like before you began to walk with Jesus, you heard of and seen people persecuting certain ones that did follow Jesus. But as long as it didn't get personal with you, you didn't intervene. It didn't bother you. So these devout men who took responsibility didn't appreciate what everybody else was doing. Meaning they didn't value how they just treated this man. This man did nothing, just like Jesus did nothing, to deserve this death. And they're thinking these people, these radicals who just got caught up in the moment and punished this man and appointed him to death and killed him was a wrong move. And these men took him out with great lamentations and went and buried him. So they just were people, responsible people. You've seen people doing times of chaos even in our society. When people get together and they start rioting and they start doing this, people that have good moral values but don't agree with what the people are actually doing, step in and try to stop them. They don't have to be a believer to do that. They just know what they're doing is not right. It's not right for to treat people that way. So these devout men took this man and went and buried him. Could some of them been believers? That's possible. Were they all believers? That's even possible. But nothing in this guarantees that these were disciples of the Lord. They were just devout men. And then what they would do would carry him out of the city and do great lamentations for him. Now, part of the code of the law was is that when somebody died and you buried them, you didn't put on a show. You didn't go out and do lamentations and those types of things. So it's saying that people that didn't appreciate what everybody was doing and treating these disciples the way they were treating them, just like, for an example, have you ever been on a job where somebody mistreated you because of your stand for what you believed in? And some people that didn't believe in the same things you believed in still stood with you and thought they were mistreating you and taking advantage of you when they shouldn't have been. Well, that's kind of how this situation is here. But notice what verse 3 says. And for Saul, he made havoc, or he ravaged the church, entering every house and dragging off men and women, committing them to prison. The word havoc, Kate, has the idea of ravaging like a beast would. Like if you ever watched a coyote get on something that was dead and tried to pick it apart and tear it apart, or watched a dog come up on something that it ravished another animal, or ripping people apart. This guy Saul was a beast, and he felt like he had the authority of God to do what he was doing. And I want to tell you, he was a menace to the people of God. And he would go, and it didn't matter if you was a man or a woman, he would treat you the same way. He didn't treat people differently for the fact that it was a woman, and he would deal with her more delicately and treat her more kindly. No, he abused them and misused them and ravaged them and tore people apart to put them in jail. He was an adversary to the things of God. Now, what are the couple things we can glean out of these passages just today, just to think about it like this? Somebody's wanting to come back in. Gotcha. And I think they're trying to convince them they don't need to come back in. I don't know if they convinced, huh? We'll see. We're going to find out.
That's right.
Okay. I don't know if you ever noticed this or not. But usually in societies when people are prospering and doing really well, things are not troublesome and not inconvenient, there's a lot of ease there, people start taking their hands off of things of greater responsibility. For an example, a lot of times when people prosper in life and they make more money over time, or their resources, when it comes to their giving and charitable giving, usually the more money they make, the less they give. It's people that usually have a greater need that are in a big need are the ones who usually sacrifice more when it comes to giving.
Yeah.
It just happens that way. Statistics would tell you that. Church history would tell you that. That when times are tough and hard, people usually are more generous in giving than when they are at their most prosperous state. Because when you make more, you wind up accumulating more. And when you wind up accumulating more, a lot of that people make start, it takes maintenance if you have a lot. Are you with me? If you have many things, or if you have multiple vehicles, if you have multiple toys, if you have multiple this or multiple places, or a place on the lake and upon the boat, man, it can get expensive. Are you with me? And that kind of maintenance on things, like Greg, the kind of work you're in and the maintenance on that type of equipment. I mean, you get hit with a $20,000 bill on one bill, right? It's just the way that it is. The more you accumulate, the more expensive life gets. And it's been proven that the people that have usually the greatest amount of money give the least amount of money to help other people out in daily life when it comes to a percentage wise. And the reason is, let's say you start out and you're making $30,000 and you're giving 8 or 5 or 8 or 10% of that, and that 10% of $30,000, $3,000 a year given, but then you move up to $300,000 over a period of time and you give 3%, now you're giving $30,000. And somebody says, man, that's a whole lot of money to give away $30,000. That's a lot. I don't need to do it. So they start giving way low percentages. You follow with me? It's still a lot. It may be more than what I can give, but it's not the potential of what they could be doing, because they've let what? Prosperity take them up, but they start forgetting where they come from through it. And you see, that can happen, and that's what we see in this situation. Through that is that God used them to spread them out because of this trouble. Another thing we want to point out is this, is that those that were rightly connected with God did not blame Stephen for this trouble.
Amen.
They honored him.
Amen. Come on.
They blessed him. They honored his life. And this trouble, this persecution that spread them out was a direct result of what Stephen preached. Let me show you. Go to Acts 11. You'll see what I'm talking about. Acts 11 picks this up where we leave off at this point. Notice verse number 19 of Acts 11. Now those who were scattered after the persecution that arose over who? Traveled as far as Phoenicia, Cyprus, and Antioch, preaching the word to no one but the Jews only. Who was at the heart of this persecution? Stephen was. And Stephen's message that he preached is what enraged these people to do this, and it created trouble. But I want to promise you this, that the people of God triumph in the times of trouble. Remember that. Amen. The people of God walking with Jesus, filled of His Spirit, will triumph in the days of trouble. And they won't blame. You don't see no blame being pointed at Stephen saying, look, we just had to leave the teaching of the truth. We had to leave what we now know as our homes. Now we spread out. Our families have been dispersed. We don't have a place to go back to here. Nobody's blaming Stephen for it. They are celebrating his life. Why? Because the people that walk with God understand that what Stephen was doing was the will of God. He was proclaiming the word of God, doing the work of God, and that they can't help but honor him and give glory to God for it, and no blame is pointed at him.
Amen.
You find people, though, on the other hand, that are not walking with God, not filled with the Spirit, and things get messed up in their life, you know what they're going to do? They're always going to find somebody to blame.
Amen.
If it wasn't for that old brother Nick, if he had never said that, I wouldn't be in this position right now. You with me?
Come on.
Many could have said, if it wasn't for Stephen, we wouldn't be here right now.
Yeah.
But they didn't. You know what they did? You know what Luke does all the way through it? He blesses the man.
Amen.
And he honors his life. Why? Because it was part of the will of God for them, and God was just doing His work and what He always does in blessing His people. Amen?
Amen?
So that's important. How many of you find yourself in trouble at different times? How many can find yourself in trouble on the job or create some tension on the job? Not that you go in looking for it. Remember, persecution is expected, right? You don't go looking for it. You just live out what Jesus has given you, and it's going to come to you. It's going to find you. And it may find you at work. It may find you in your home. It may find you in your community. It may find you among your family members in trouble. But you keep walking with the Lord, because it's in trouble that His people will continue to triumph. Amen?
Amen.
He'll bless you and lead you through it. The second thing that I want you to pick up on before we go today is this, is that your greatest enemies, your greatest adversaries, maybe your greatest advocates just down the road.
Come on.
Paul was an adversary of the church.
Yes.
And he did everything he could to silence them and put them out of commission. He lived and breathed,
yes,
to kill and put people in prison that stood on the cause of Jesus. You may have people right now in your family, on the job, wherever it is, in the community, it doesn't matter, that may be our adversaries at the time, but that adversary can quickly become your greatest advocate. Your foe in the work of the kingdom can become your best friend in God's work. Amen?
Amen.
Remember that. Remember where you are. Because it's easy. How many of you got people that, man, they just keep trying to get under your skin? Or circumstances on the job just trying to keep getting under your skin? And people don't appreciate you. People don't value. People don't see you. They treat you the wrong way. That happens. Remember, you keep walking with Jesus, you're going to triumph through the trouble. And those that may be your greatest adversary on that job, or in your home, or among your family, or among your friends, when God does a work in them, they can become your greatest advocate.
Come on.
Because I want to tell you, God's fixing to do something in Paul's life. Amen. Old Saul ain't going to be Saul no longer. He's going to change him. He's going to change his name. And there's been not a person on the planet since his days that's been the advocate for the glory of God and the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the building of the church than a man by the name of the Apostle Paul. Amen. Amen. But he didn't start out that way. I mean, he was hard on men and women, and he would hurt you. He wanted to hurt you. He had every intent to hurt you. And he thought he was all doing it for the right reasons and the right purposes. But I want to tell you, he got interrupted by Jesus, though, didn't he?
Amen.
He got interrupted by Jesus. And when Jesus interrupts you, he changes you, Josh. He changes you. He alters the path of your life. He changes how you think. He changes what you trust. He changes how you talk. He changes what you treasure in life. He changes your testimony. He's going to change it when you get interrupted by the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what we see. Now, we know the full story. Amen. We can foresee that. They didn't foresee that at that time. They were on the hideout from him. They were doing everything they could to get away from him. But it won't be long that when he goes to persecute a group of people in Damascus, God's going to get him. And God's going to turn him. And God's going to fill him, Brother Shannon.
Amen.
And he's going to be what? He's going to be sold out for Jesus. And now who is the church's greatest foe becomes their greatest friend. And I want to tell you, that's happened. You've seen it happen in your own life. You've seen it with people that didn't understand you, misunderstood you, and you might have misunderstood them or didn't understand them properly, and y'all might have butted heads. But one day, the Lord just opened up an opportunity for you to see things eye to eye. And now you're good friends with that, with somebody you really didn't like. And they surely didn't like you. Are you with me? That happens. That happens. Well, when we see that, I see something else that we see. No matter how painful the persecution is, no matter how difficult the persecutions are, they're always what? Temporary.
Amen.
They're temporary. Everything in this life is what? Temporary.
Yeah.
What are we doing? We are what? Passing through this world. Amen?
Amen.
We're passing through. Pain is difficult. Pain is hard. But pain in its longest, most difficult situations is still, for the believer, a temporary issue. Amen?
Amen.
There's a far more greater glory being worked out for that. Notice what happens here. Look in chapter 8. Go back to chapter 8. And we're going to wrap it up. Because I know them ladies back there will be waiting on us. And we got some good food to go enjoy with one another. Notice what happens during this persecution. They get spread out. But when they spread out, what do? They don't go hide. They go preach.
Amen.
Verse 4 says, therefore those that were spread out, broadcast it, scattered, went everywhere preaching the word. As a way of life, they just preached the word. Then Philip sent down to the city of Samaria, and he proclaimed Christ to them. That's like a prepared message that you lift to go tell with somebody. As a way of life, the way they lived, he just preached Jesus in a way of life. And then there were times he would stand up like me doing the day with something prepared to declare to the people, and that's what we see him doing. And he preached, and I want you to notice what verse number 8 says, and there was what? Great joy in that city.
Amen.
So no matter how painful persecution is, it's temporary, but I want to tell you what lasts forever. The joy of the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
The joy of the Lord. You know what lasts when we trust in the Lord? The peace of God in that persecution. See, you can't, if you're not looking at this as a temporary thing and you understand and expect it to come, you're not going out to create it. It just found you on the journey of life. You can keep what? Preaching this Jesus. Keep preaching this Jesus with peace in your heart, even though it's going to cause you some persecution and some pain. Because the outcome of the message proclaimed and the man of the Lord Jesus Christ received produces what? A joy that is what? Forever. And ever. Amen? Forever and ever. And you can have joy in the pain. You can have joy in the persecution. You can have joy when you have foes. You can have joy when you have adversaries. You can have joy when the circumstances don't call for joy. Why? Because who our joy is, amen.
Amen.
And He transcends the temporary. And He gives that which is eternal. Amen?
Amen.
So those are just some nuggets we can glean out of this. Knowing what we know about the future, what's still yet to come. And that I don't want to get at ease where I start neglecting this great salvation that I have. Because I don't see persecution coming to me. So I'm not as eager, as earnest to go make disciples for the Lord Jesus Christ. I kind of just get caught up in the everyday flow of life, and I rarely ever preach Jesus in a way of living and speaking of what He's done for me, because life just gets easy for me.
Amen.
You see, but when God spread them out, what do? They went preaching. Because persecution will do that.
Yeah.
When you know who you're being persecuted for. And that your adversaries can soon become your greatest advocates.
Amen.
Your foes can become friends. Those who are a burden to you now can become a brother and a sister to you tomorrow. Amen?
Come on.
And who changed you is the same one that can change them. Amen? And until He changes them, you just keep loving on them.
Amen.
And then, hey, when He changes them, you won't have to. It won't be hard to love them then, amen? Because you got a brother or a sister that is trusted in the Lord. So we give Him glory, amen?
Amen.
We give Him glory. Now tonight, Lord willing, we come back. We're going to look at that place in Samaria with those people there and with that eunuch. And we're going to try to look at, Lord willing, of the evidences of this power that comes from on high, and how in our own life, you know, we got to ask that question from time to time. You know, when we believed in Jesus, did we receive the power of the Holy Spirit?
Amen.
But that's important. Amen. And the power is going to be evidence of the presence of God in your life. That's going to change how you think, change how you talk, change who you trust, changes what you treasure, changes who you praise and what you say and how you speak in this life. Amen, Miss Pat? That would be some evidence that we're going to be looking for in our life. And to God be the praise. To Him be the praise. So whether it's the campus, whether it's the church, whether it's the community, or whether it's some city, hey, we got an answer for men. Amen?
Amen.
The same thing that rescued us can rescue them. So to God be the glory. We praise You today, Lord, and thank You. We ask You to help us with these things. Teach us these. Fill us with Your Spirit. Those that are here right now or will listen to this someday, and that if they have not entrusted themselves to You and received the power of a transformed, altered life to be a witness of Jesus, to be a witness for Jesus, and to be a witness to affirm and authenticate those that are trusting and walking with Him. I pray that today would be the day that they entrust themselves to You, and that You raise them from the dead and use them in the life that You've given them to be those witnesses for Your glory. So we thank You for these little nuggets that we get to glean from these great truths that You've given us, and that You'll continue to make us the people that You want us to be. We ask for it, and we ask for Your Spirit to be poured out. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Glory, wherever that be, amen.
Amen.
Oh, Philip, where was he at? Man, he was in the midst of a great work God was doing, but where did the Spirit lead him? Out in the desert, some 60 miles southwest of where he was at, to reach one man.
Come on.
Yeah. An Ethiopian eunuch going back to his country to serve a queen. One person. God sent him to go reach. Wherever he leads,
yeah,
we'll go. Amen.
Come on.
All right, Greg, won't you close us with a word of prayer and ask God's favor over our time in the back.
Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for this time we can gather with one another, Lord, to lift you up, Father, and to learn more about you. Father, we just pray that we can be more like Stephen, Father, that we would just give up our life, Father,
yeah,
to trust in you and to tell others about you, Father.
Yeah. Yes.
In this world today, that have been in our lives and have inspired us to be better and better, Father, to follow you.
Mm.
We thank you for each and every blessing, Father. We thank you for your new mercies every morning. I ask that you would bless each and every one here today, that you would be with all those on the road traveling, wherever they might be. Father, we just thank you for this food that has been prepared. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
We love you and thank you for loving us. In the holy name we pray.
Amen. Amen. Amen.